Hello, everybody. Welcome to the 13th, yup, count it, 13th episode of Collegeville Conversation. I'm your host, Jason Phelan. Now, Philadelphia sports are picking up steam lately, and we have a lot to cover. So let's get talking. So now, to kick things off, of course, we're going to talk about the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, the offense of the Philadelphia Eagles has received a spark plug of sorts in Jalen Hurts, the young 22-year-old quarterback drafted in the second round out of Oklahoma by the Eagles. The move, of course, was met with such confusion and scrutiny on Howie Roseman's part. They were wondering, what are the Eagles doing with that pick? Many expected them to pick Denzel Mims with their second-round pick instead of a quarterback, considering they already had Carson Wentz, of course. Now, obviously, this year, Wentz has not played up to par or as expected as compared to what you would normally see from him in previous years when he would... Well, last year, he had over 4,000 passing yards with no receivers over 500 receiving yards last year, and also had 27 TDs with only 7 interceptions. This year, he has just over 2,000 passing yards, 16 TDs, and is leading the league with 15 interceptions. Now, of course, the Eagles, they are just barely hanging on to the playoff race in a weak NFC East where no one has an above 500 record in that division. So of course, at this point, the Eagles needed to change something up. They needed to sit Wentz for a little bit, of course, maybe clear his head, and put in Jalen Hurts. Now, Hurts has been playing he's been playing exceptional as of late in his first two starts. Over 600 total yards in the first two starts combined, along with a combined, 6 TDs. That is incredible, and this is the same team that Wentz has been playing with all season. You know, there are fans on each side, on Jalen Hurts' side, on Carson Wentz' side, saying the defense for Carson Wentz is that you can't really put one bad season on him. You know, like, some good QBs, great QBs in the past, like Peyton Manning, have had one bad season before. But it's just Wentz has been making some mistakes that a fifth-year quarterback usually should not be making at this point in their career. Mistakes like not knowing when to throw the ball away. And that's a really big mistake. Of course, the amount of turnovers and interceptions that he has. He's the most sacked quarterback in the league this year. It's just... Now, it seemed earlier on in the season, the O-line has been collapsing really, really easily, too. With the anchor of the O-line being Jason Kelce, who just made another Pro Bowl this year. So congratulations to him. But, of course, Jason Peters out for the season, who is also 38 years old and who's on his last leg. Really, the only reason I think they brought Jason Peters back was because Andre Dillard is out for the season. And they just really cannot find anybody else to play left tackle. So they had to bring back Jason Peters, probably even for a mentorship role. But... They also got Matt Pryor on the O-line, who has been flagged a lot, of course, in a lot of games. Jack Driscoll is out for the season. This is just a young and inexperienced O-line. It's honestly really a mess to me. Now, not all the time Wentz's pocket is clean, of course, as we've seen in these games, but... You know, what really can a quarterback do about that? I'll give him the benefit of the doubt on that. But It just seems that this team is really more rejuvenated and re-energized when Jalen Hurts is in the game. I've noticed the pocket is more clean when he's in the game, but he's also really more mobile than Carson Wentz is at this point in his career. But Jalen Hurts has been playing great. You know, it's hard to, you can't deny that. You can't deny him that. Now, do I think they should trade Wentz? Well, that's hard to answer because I would not want to trade Jalen Hurts either. But in the end, I think we're going to have to settle on one. And if Wentz wants to keep his starting QB job, he's, of course, going to have to play like it. He's going to have to really want it. He's going to have to fight for it because, you know, more often than not, teams who bring out their young starting QB over a veteran QB who hasn't been playing well often go with the young starting QB, the young new guy who's been playing well. But honestly, if it were up to me, I would give it till training camp, of course, and then, you know, just see who does better in the preseason. But I think that the Eagles will end up going with Jalen Hurts. If they were up to me, I would go with Jalen Hurts at this point. Of course, you got to go with the hot hand. And obviously, Jalen Hurts is the hot hand. but, you know, Wentz really has to show us something, you know. And people have been saying they want him traded to the Colts. They even said, like, he could even go to the Patriots if it came down to that. But I think if Wentz were to be traded, then the Colts would be the best move for him because he'd be reunited with his former coach, Frank Reich, whom he had his great near MVP season with in 2017. You know, Wentz that year with him was just on a different level. I think that I've been saying that Patrick Mahomes now is what we were kind of hoping Wentz would be after that season if he didn't get hurt. But, you know, things don't always, it's always a what if, maybe, you know, and it's just unfortunate for him. But, you know, Jalen Hurts, it's just hard to ignore that Jalen Hurts has been playing great with literally the same exact team this year. So I don't know if maybe the Eagles, I just don't know if it's a rallying around the quarterback's problem. But, you know, it just seems that they've been rallying around Jalen Hurts more so than they have been with Carson Wentz this season. But, you know, we've noticed that before when Nick Foles was still here. Even in 2018, when Wentz went down again for the rest of the season, they rallied around Nick Foles in the playoffs, and it seems that he elevated that team to a different level, just like what Jalen Hurts is doing right now. If we were to cut Wentz, it would have a huge. If we were to cut Wentz this season, it would have a huge cap hit on the Eagles, bolstering a cap hit of about $59 million if cut this season. So cutting Carson Wentz is completely out of the question for the Eagles. Now, trading him would have less of a cap hit, with about a third of that, I would say. You got to think, what could you get out of Carson Wentz in a trade? I would say, I'm not sure about a first-round pick, but it's definitely not out of the question. But definitely a second-rounder would be in the deal. Maybe even another player of sorts, a wide receiver. The offensive line, it seems like it's completely different with Jalen Hurts. Just makes you wonder. But they need to improve on that. Now, the coaching of this team, of course, the past couple of seasons, people have been saying They wanted Jim Schwartz gone. It just seems that it's kind of half and half with the coaching and the talent that this defense has. Obviously, our star cornerback Darius Slay, he is down right now, but I'm for certain that if we had him in the Arizona Cardinals game, we definitely would have won that game because our defense definitely had problems. Of course, in the secondary, they were having problems containing DeAndre Hopkins. He just made a couple of, you know, sweet catches that, you know, just about only he could make in this league. He's just an insane wide receiver. There's nothing really you can do about that. You can't really be mad about that. But there's definitely a talent issue in the Eagles defense. Our run defense is among one of the best in the league with Fletcher Cox on the D-line. He also made another Pro Bowl, so congratulations to him. We also have Brandon Graham making his first Pro Bowl, so congratulations to those two men as well. You know, it's just we have no. I don't think we have any real talent issue on the D-line. Of course, it's just more so in the secondary, and of course, we are lacking linebackers. That's another point of focus that we need. That's another point that we need to emphasize in this NFL draft. Now for Jim Schwartz, of course. It just seems that the Eagles are keeping him on, but I think that after this year, he might go. I think, you know, this the prevent defense, it does not work in the secondary at all. We've let up too much yardage. We've given up too many first downs on that defense. You just can't keep running that defense knowing that it doesn't work. And there's been rumors that Doug Peterson has been wanting to give up, you know, play calling this year. There's been a lot of stories and rumors about Doug Peterson this year saying that that he wouldn't be upset if he were to be fired. He would give up play calling the rest of the season. He's made some questionable play calls. It's noticed that the quality of his play calling has gone down since the Eagles won the Super Bowl in 2018, in the 2017 season. But, you know, it's just he's become sort of predictable, of course. And other teams have caught on to it. But there's just also so much of a window you can have after winning a Super Bowl. There's just only, you know, you can ride off that Super Bowl high for a couple years, of course, sometimes, considering that he has won us more than one division title as a head coach, and he's got us to the playoffs, of course. But I think this whole year is just a lost season for everybody on the team, really. But if it were up to me, five guys on the Eagles that I would keep right now going into this season, of course you keep Fletcher Cox, who is the anchor on that defensive line. You hope Jason Kelce doesn't retire, which, you know, he's still playing at the top of his game even after all these years. He's the best center in the league, in the National Football League. Brandon Graham had his best season, of course, getting his first Pro Bowl. And of course, you can't forget he is a Super Bowl hero, strip sacking of Tom Brady. Thank you very much. You keep our young stud running back, Miles Sanders, which he does not get enough carries. He would make the Pro Bowl if he was given enough touches. Considering that against the Saints, he had over 100 yards, including a long touchdown run. And you keep, I'm going to put all the quarterbacks in for number five in the quarterback situation. I think it's too little bit too early, I would say, to fully give up on Carson Wentz. But Jalen Hurts, he's much younger. He's 22. Wentz is 27. He's much younger. He's playing right out of the gate at a high level, at a great, great, great level. And It's just those are the five aspects you need to keep next season. Those are the five key things. Now, for the 2021 NFL draft, the Eagles have a few things they need to focus on. I think the top priority being linebacker. For me, it goes linebacker, then they need to focus on the O-line, and wide receiver, it's not as much a problem as it once was last year, but it's still very much a focus that they need to look at. Linebacker, I would love if they drafted Micah Parsons out of Penn State. I think it's nearly guaranteed that the Eagles will get a... Well, if the Eagles don't win the division miraculously, then they will definitely get a top 10 pick. I would love... It seems right now that the Eagles would be picking number 7 overall if the draft was today, if the season ended today, which... They have a couple of options there. Projected to go around there would be Ja'Marr Chase out of LSU, Devonta Smith out of Alabama. Micah Parsons might be gone before then out of Penn State. I would say Jalen Waddle out of Alabama if he did not get injured at the start of the season. But I think players that they should definitely look at in this draft are Devonta Smith, who could be a Heisman candidate, and Micah Parsons, linebacker out of Penn State. It's just linebacker is a position the Eagles have been ignoring for quite some time now. And it's getting to the point where they can't really ignore it anymore, considering that they let Jordan Hicks walk to Arizona a couple of years back. Now he's one of their captains at the Arizona Cardinals. The Eagles have passed on a lot of great wide receivers, not just recently, but historically. In 1985, they passed up on Jerry Rice, which meant that they could have had an opportunity to have Randall Cunningham, Jerry Rice, and Reggie White all on the same team. With that team, I think that their first Super Bowl would have came sooner rather than later than it did. Of course passed on Tyreek Hill before, but then again, so did everybody. He was a fifth round pick. And most recently, they passed up on DK Metcalf, which haunts the Eagles right now. They passed up on him for JJ Arcega-Whiteside, which he hasn't really had much production at all, whereas DK Metcalf was just elected to his first Pro Bowl. And also, even more recently, this past draft, they passed up on Justin Jefferson for Jalen Reagor, and Justin Jefferson he just joined a list of rookies to make their first Pro Bowl in the rookie season. I don't know. I know it's not really our scouts that are making the mistakes, but, you see the talent is there. Justin Jefferson playing a huge role on a championship LSU team, and, now you see he's translated to the NFL, of course, as did DK Metcalf. But, I hope that the Eagles can make smart decisions when drafting this year. I hope they can have a better season the next year. It'll be interesting to see what they do at quarterback. And, at the end of it all, it's still go Birds. Now, let's hear from our sponsors. But when we come back, we will begin talking about the Philadelphia 76ers. So now, of course, with the NBA season here again, that marks the return, of course, of our Philadelphia 76ers. Now, this team is revamped. There's a lot of excitement around them. We have a new head coach, new front office, and we even have a whole new bench and shooting, something that we did not have last year. So the excitement of this team, it's rightfully so deserved, because We have experienced veterans like Seth Curry, Danny Green, as well as returning pieces like Embiid, Simmons, and Tobias Harris, not to mention the acquisition of Dwight Howard. Now, it's also Shake Milton. Shake Milton just looked so good in their preseason game against the Pacers and against the Celtics. He shot the lights out. I noticed that his spot is the corner. But I think that he's really going to thrive under head coach Doc Rivers. He had about 18 points against the Celtics, which is very, very superb, very above average for him as a bench player. But I'm interested about how him and Furkan Korkmaz as a scoring duo, shooting duo off the bench is going to be. It's amazing to see how those two guys have been developing, of course, and they're shooting along with Seth Curry shooting, Seth Curry being an above 45% three-point shooter, very, very much helps the Sixers. And I know that Seth Curry seems to have struggled in his first couple preseason games with the Sixers, but as I'm confident that he's going to get it going very much so. And once he does get it going, it's just going to contribute to hopefully a long Sixers playoff run. I think that there's no excuse for this team to not make it out of the second round at all, like in past years. But, you know, obviously the East is loaded this year. We got the Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving Warriors. Giannis just re-signed with the Bucks for about 5 years, $228 million, which is the highest contract in NBA history. We also have the Heat, the Wizards got a little bit stronger with the acquisition of Russell Westbrook and Brad Beal coming back. But yeah, this East, it's really strong this year. Obviously still not as strong as the West, but it's definitely going to take all the Sixers have. Everybody needs to click if they want to make it out of the East or even make it to the Eastern Conference Finals. But I'm confident they can do that. And the whole team, it looks in sync. Far cry to when Brett Brown was head coach. The team seems to rally around Doc Rivers and the new coaching staff. Which is great to see considering that Rivers is an experienced coach. He's a championship-winning coach. He won in 2008 with the Boston Celtics. But, yeah, this whole team looks in sync. They're gonna mesh together more over time. But a whole other thing in Sixers news that was discussed was the possibility of the team landing James Harden. Now, it was reported that the Houston Rockets, in order for the Sixers to obtain James Harden, was they had to give up Ben Simmons along with 3 first-round picks. Now, that's a considerable amount for James Harden. Now, it seems the consensus with most Sixers fans is they actually don't want to James Harden. Specifically not for Ben Simmons. Simmons is only 24 years old too, and he is a defensive player. He's going to be a defensive player of the year award candidate for many years. He just led the league in steals with 2.1 steals per game last year, and he was on the all NBA third team. Now, being as young as he still is, he's really special. And everyone's just going to keep saying, oh, well, he doesn't have a jump shot. Well, they don't pay attention to a lot of the things that he can do. Like, he can get to the basket at will. He can pass. He can rebound. He can just about play any position that you put him at. Not many players are like him, but he's more so like Magic Johnson than he is like LeBron James. I really don't want the Sixers to break up Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons, considering how young they are, Embiid being 26, Ben Simmons being 24. The Sixers just have a lot to be excited about. Good thing team president Daryl Morey has said that he does not plan to trade Embiid or Simmons. I don't think this team needs James Harden, per se. I think they are very well constructed, how they are right now. They drafted really well this year, picking up Tyrese Maxey, Isaiah Joe, and Paul Reed. Maxey, too, I can't. He's just been showing out in these preseason games. He had a couple great finishes at the rim the other day against the Pacers. Just going straight at the big men in the paint and scoring at will. And the experienced veterans, they seem to be rallying around him too and rooting for him on the bench. Like, you see that, and that's good for the chemistry. I love the fact that we picked up Paul Reed. I thought he was going to be an early second round pick, but he turned out falling to the Sixers in late second round. But yeah, these guys are going to be contributing pieces for the Sixers. And it's going to be great to see what the Sixers team can do this year. But if they don't make it out of the second round, then obviously there's going to be some moves that need to be made, but none of those moves should be involving Joel Embiid or Ben Simmons. But I'm torn between that making a big move and then, or just giving this team some time next season over if they don't make it to the conference finals at least. But we're not worrying about next season right now. We're talking about how excited we are this season. Coach Doc Rivers, he seems to be very, very excited about this team. He seems to believe in the guys a lot. And it just seems that they brought in a whole different culture as compared to last year. I think this team is as excited and as good as it looks and as good as it has been looking, you know, all throughout the process years, you know. Ever since 2016, this is easily the best looking Sixers team on paper that we have right now. I think Embiid can hopefully get back to averaging 27 points per game, over 10 rebounds, maybe 4 or 5 assists per game. I think Simmons will average about 18 points per game, along with 8 and 9. He definitely has the potential to average a triple-double once he reaches his prime, or maybe even earlier than that. But that's another reason why I would rather keep him over trading for James Harden. I'm very excited about this Sixers team. I really cannot wait to see what they do. But if they don't start out up to par, then obviously they're going to have to make a trade at the trade deadline, because, you know, you just can't leave it stagnant like that. But yeah, just the Sixers team, it looks very, very good so far in the preseason. Everybody seems to have been buying in so far, and you just love to see that in a team. That's what winning teams are made out of. They're made out of a great culture. Everybody's buying in. Nobody's selfish. Everybody knows their role. And it seems like this Sixers team has all of that, and I think the only people that they have to beat are themselves. But, you know, and we will see. I cannot wait to see what the Eagles do in the offseason, of course. And I also cannot wait to see what the Sixers do this season. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Collegeville Conversation. As always, I'm your host, Jason Phelan. Have a happy holiday and be safe, people.